Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 66 of Crosshairs Radio. This week, it's our final TDD TIE. They don't do that in Europe of the season. It's the award show where Scott Diedenbach, David Palin, and I go through all the awards we're giving out for the past season in cyclocross. We've got a tight 90 minutes of that coming up. But before we get to it, I want to tell you about the sponsor we have for today's show. And this is an exciting one. It's Sporty Books. Audiobooks to go. So this is pretty sweet. The Sean Renette, who started this company, was riding back from races, as he says, listening to Nickelback and hearing the same gossip and the same stories from his buddies week after week after week. Wanted something new, so he went to the local library, went to the audiobook section, looked for the cycling books on audiobooks, and found nothing. So he decided to start his own company to do cycling audiobooks. So far out there available from Sporty Books is Michael Hutchinson's Faster, The Obsession, Science, and Luck Behind the World's Fastest Cyclist. Susan Clemenson's Ride the Revolution, The Inside Stories from Women in Cycling. And The End of the Road, The Festina Affair, and The Tour That Almost Wrecked Cycling. Those are just three of the books out available from Sporty Books right now. Also in the work, this one's cool, Phil Gaiman's Pro Cycling on $10 a Day. That's going to be coming out on audiobook. And also J.P. Parlin's Tour Fever, The Armchair Cyclist's Guide to the Tour de France. So when you're sitting on your trainer, you're out on those long drives to the next race, maybe even just working in your garden, looking for something to listen to put between your ears. You've already caught up on all of your Wide Angle Podium podcasts. Go to Audible and check out Sporty Books audios. They are also available on iTunes, Downpour, Barnes & Noble, Audiobook.com, Playster, Hoopla, Overdrive, Audiobooks.now.com. Pretty much anywhere audiobooks are sold, you can find Sporty Books. I want you to go there. Pick up one of the titles. Go to www.sportybooks.com. You get more information there. Follow them on Instagram at Sporty Books. That's SportyBooks. Sporty Books. Love having these guys along as a sponsor. I hope you support them. Shout out to them on Instagram and let them know that you heard about it on Crosshairs Radio. And buy a book. Buy two. Sporty Books. Okay. They don't do that in Europe, as always. Scott Diedenbach's going to lead the way, and he's going to do that right now.
All right. Tell me when you're ready.
I am ready.
Oh, wait. I'm not ready. Hang on. Okay. Now I'm ready. Almost.
Wait. How do I get...
Put on the voice.
Okay. There we go.
I'm ready.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe, brought to you by Crosshairs Radio, Wide Angle Podium, you name it. And with me, as always today, on the right, Bill Shiken.
Yeah, and in the season, this is my comeback of the year, right there, best lap.
That's why I had to do all that like screwing around before we started recording, because I had to figure out who was where. And with us, of course, on the left, Mr. David Palin.
Get nipped at the finish line. What the heck is up with that? I got to go strong right through the finish.
I got the premature confetti that was meant for David.
Just so viewers know, we had this like round robin of Skype calling where all three of us were trying to call each other all at the exact same moment. So like Skype was going crazy with us for a minute. So it was kind of a real crapshoot who would end up on the right today. So congratulations, Bill.
Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, but the second most gets the cheese.
That is a good, that's true. There's no I in team.
There you go. But me is in there.
I'm trying to set you up for these.
Here we go.
Guys, it's actually a sad show today. We're at the end of the cross schedule, the end of the cross season. All we have to look forward to now is summer.
You mean cyclocross preseason?
Yeah, right. The road season, otherwise known as cyclocross preseason. So, but before we get to, and this is, of course, our awards show, right? I don't know. That's probably what everyone's expecting.
Yeah.
But before we get into
that, I'll put all the music in afterwards, the awards music.
All right. Nice. Like the Oscars?
Don't get excited like it's actually going to happen.
I know. You got to kick it off because I don't. We're going to talk about racing this weekend or no? Nothing, right?
Well, we should at least. Well, I don't know. Okay, no.
Well, Bill, you can.
I'm preparing all my best, all my Leuven jokes and quips as we move on from the Who references to a reference that maybe, perhaps, Scotty D would understand.
No, because there was two races this weekend we could talk about if you want to. That was a cool course there in that Sudal Classic, man. That drop that was like a roller coaster kind of ride. Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
I did.
That was crazy, man. That was one of the coolest things ever. It was like a downhill whoop-de-doo back and forth kind of thing. It was kind of cool. I thought that was pretty awesome. So I had trouble watching. I don't know about you guys, but my feed was so bad I couldn't really just stick to it. I was jumping so much. So but anyway,
put your left hand on the right rabbit ear on your TV. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that comes in a little clearer.
Some tinfoil. And then, of course, the whole reason I was even watching the race is I go out with a brand new 10-speed chain on my bike. I won't say the manufacturer. I get about 500 yards and it breaks. I was going out to ride that morning.
You're like almost at the furthest point of your ride at that point.
He was at the turnaround point.
Yeah, I had to walk all the way back.
Did you have to call St. John to get you home?
So I was pretty pissed about that. I mean, anyways, but at least I got to watch the race. So, Bill, what were you going to say about the race? You were going to say something, and then
I wasn't.
Okay.
Katie Compton won. That was exciting.
Katie Compton gets a win at the end of the season. That's I'm sure. Exciting for her. Now, it's been rumored and we've been hearing little things that she's going to do more European racing next year.
Yeah, that
was one of, at this point, she said that in the interview at the end.
No, that was one of my news items. I can actually confirm that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for that. Yeah. Anything. So what's going, what did she say specifically? Anything?
Well, like, she's going to do the whole DeVeve series. She's also, so which means that she'll only be in the U.S. really for the World Cups and Conti Champs and CX Nats. You know, just wants to sort of mix it up with the elite women's field in Europe and thinks that that's going to get her stronger going into the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean for DCCX?
Probably won't be seeing Katie Compton there. I think we'll fly her back.
Yeah,
we got those kind of funds.
That budget.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, okay, well, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I think it'll be cool to be able to watch her over there. It's always nice to see her here too. But if we get to see her at Louisville at Continentals and at Nationals, of course, and at the two World Cups, so we'll still get to see her here. But yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. What other news items did you want to talk about, Bill?
I think the big one, since we've been talking about what's going on with Telenet Fidea, is that Tom Mason, who was in these sort of long, drawn-out contract negotiations or no negotiations with
the team. He was in limbo.
He was in limbo. Has now signed with Baobank. So Matthew Vanderpool's team, Mason, has moved over to that, which is, this is a guy who was on Telenet his entire career from when he was a junior.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pretty big news.
So they finally wanted someone that would wear their jersey occasionally.
Yeah, right. Not like a national, national world jersey. Yeah. The personalities, the more, I think, laid-back personality of Tom Mason and the more strict taskmaster-ish personality of Sven didn't necessarily mesh.
Yeah, sure.
So did Mason have to apologize for that?
I think he did, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And do you know, Bill, did does that start at the beginning of the season? That's not one of these.
That is a really good question. Thing.
I didn't see, and I was just curious. Yeah.
I can go back and
I'm looking at the article here. It says from September 1st.
Oh, okay. Good. Good.
Excellent.
Oh, it also says, or from January 1st, 2018. It is not clear.
It's not clear. Nobody knows.
You know, other.
So Tom, I would imagine, given what you've said, that it probably, I don't think they would force him to stay with Telenet.
Yeah, but it's always weird. I mean, it's a thing where, you know, you had Lars Vanderhaar, who was going to all the training camps, was getting, you know, it's coached up by Sven while he was still on Giant. It's just, that's where psychosis is just odd.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Of course, David Vanderpool, too, on that same team. So, yeah, that's good. What other news items?
Our U23 Women's World Champion, Amory Wurst, is moving over to Era Circus, the Swick team. So that's cool. So she's got a contract there. It does not say whether it's an actual one of our, you know, rare full-time contracts or not, but she'll be racing in those colors regardless. And that's,
see that, because I mean, she'll be racing at the top of the women's elite field like she was already this year. We'll be seeing her probably at the front of a lot of women's elite races next year. So
yeah, the thing that made it possible for her with that contract, and what leads me to believe it is going to be more than just this part-time, is that, you know, she's a mountain biker first, and that they are supporting her on the mountain bike as well. So it's mountain bike and cyclocross contract. So that's good.
Yeah, that would make sense then, that's a full-time.
Yeah, and that was basically her you know, she wasn't going to do anything that didn't include both.
Yeah, which in a way makes you think, like, oh man, if she can concentrate full-time on cycling now, you know, which she basically was anyways, but that could make her even better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, was that it for news items, or did you have anything else?
Julian Taramakar, hanging it up, retiring.
Yeah, I saw that.
Unfortunately. So, and they had a nice little finish line salute for him at the end of, Ustamal. Was that the last race?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that was sad to see. He's always been a fun one to watch. So one less Swiss rider in the cyclocross peloton. I think that was it. That was it.
All right. Well, that's pretty good, man, for a end of the season news item list.
Yeah.
But let's get on to our awards. Are you guys ready for this?
We're ready.
Because we got to hurry.
I know David's got work, and Scott's also, David got this morning energy going, where both of us are like, all right.
Right. Coffee you can time. Tell. You could probably tell just by the viewers could probably tell just by listening to the show. which shows are recorded in the morning and which ones are recorded at night. But all right, David's got to get to the bike shop, so let's get going.
Okay.
So our first award, as always, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 awards this year, with the addition of the changes at the top level of the sport. But as always, we start out with the best course feature. Now, who would like to go first for this one? I'm just going to pick. I'm not leaving it up to you guys. Best course feature, first pick is going to go to Bill.
Okay. Off cambers. Those were my picks. Specifically, the Hartford U.S. Cyclocross Nationals off camber.
Yeah, that was in my short list.
And then, you know, the world's off camber. Not only the big downhill one, but sort of the one with the two
switchbacks
on it. Because both of those features were instrumental in championship races. You know, they both, especially in Hartford, just that's, you know, coming from a Sven-ness background, the Hartford off camber, I guess it's a bonk breaker hill, mm-hmm. was just one of the most amazing things to see, and just how it changed from day to day with the weather, how in the, you know, some races the lower line was the faster line, and then other races the higher line, and then you had that middle line. You know, it was such a, from an analysis standpoint, it was such a great feature. And then it you know, you had Hyde crashing there in lap one and falling way behind. We had I think was it the junior or the U23 race? There was some just amazing pass on there where the kid was like, looked like he was going to fall off the cliff, you know, running.
I think that was that was Max Chance.
That
was
Max Chance. Yeah, that was just incredible. I mean, it's just visually, it's just really exciting. So that was, Hartford CX Nats off camber.
Yes. All right, David, what do you got?
I'm going overseas on this one and going with the highway projects called.
I know
you knew I was going there.
That's the same one I picked, I'm sure.
But as much as it was the flyover, it really was the sand on the beach.
You're talking about
flyover in Belgium.
The Belgian Nationals flyover,
flyover
that opens up into a beach sand. Yes.
Yeah. And then that.
Yeah, that was my pick too. Yeah. What were you saying?
And then that ride along the beach following that. I mean, the women just came down, did a right turn, and came back through a little bit of sand. But the men did this little run along the water line for a bit and then headed back. It was quite the show.
The trip out to the beach, yeah. And just the fact that, like, you stand at the bottom, you know, the camera angle from the bottom of that thing, and it looks like it's up in the mist of the cloud. It looks like a mountain. You know, when you see the top of a mountain and they're mist or cloud covered, and the bottom is clear. That's kind of almost the view you got from that thing. So yeah, that was my pick too, David. That's a great pick, and it's one. I mean, I think we'll be referring back to that for years.
That was also what was cool. We had some viewers chime in with some viewer mail with their picks as well. So Alex from Australia coming strong in the viewer mail this week.
This week, it's because, you know, it's because
their season's ramping up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked them up so much last show. Their season's about to start, isn't it? Yeah.
But he picked the super mega gigantic flyover from Belgian National.
Yes.
So.
And in the spirit of they don't do that in Europe, we didn't comment much about the lane dividers on that up and down.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, just the
fact that it was just some cones with some orange tape strung between it. Not normally a UCI legal course feature.
Well, right. You know that one of the promoters is like, hey, we can put a camera on a gator and just send it up the middle.
Yeah.
Just chase them up there. Because that thing was so big that you had attack. I mean, we talked about it, didn't we? That there were attacks going on. Like, it was a.
Oh, yeah. It was a strategic point of the course of every lap. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right, David. If that was a course over here, if you had something like that over here, that would definitely.
Especially if the crosswinds at the top, you know, people could have gotten blown into the wrong lane.
Yes. Exactly. You know, it's like the Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah. For people that don't know, the Mackinac Bridge is what connects the lower peninsula in Michigan to the upper peninsula in Michigan. It's a 5-mile long suspension bridge. So, yeah, it was similar to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good picks, guys. Those were all on my short list for sure. And all the stuff I was thinking about. And I think everybody is going to know what we were talking about with those. But let's move on.
Scott, yours was also the.
Mine was the same one. Yeah.
All right. Good.
I had, that was my pick for sure.
That's what made my pick such a good pick in his mind.
That's right. That's why his pick was better than yours.
So that pick wins 2-1.
Oh, but you know what? The other thing is, too, is I want to say for the Hartford course, in my opinion, was just awesome.
Parking.
I was thinking after, well, yeah, I'm talking about the course. Asheville. After Asheville, I thought, man, it might be a long time before we see a Nationals course that good. And then Hartford brings it strong. And I still think Asheville was a little bit better overall course as far as course design goes. But man, Hartford was right there. I mean, as far as the course goes, maybe just as good as Asheville. But
Reno's on notice, man. They get lots to live up to.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, no, that's a good pick, Bill. That would have been my next choice for sure. So, all right, moving on. Our second category in our list is best lap. This is probably the most difficult one of our things to pick, because you got to really try and remember all, you know, what's really the best lap that I saw all season. So, David, we'll go to you first this time. Your pick for best lap of the season.
And this always favors the late season races because
yes, it does.
We don't really remember what happened yesterday. Never mind. But I'm going with Namur, one of our favorite races. And then that final lap for Katarina Nash. Mm.
Oh, good pick, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. He just dropped.
That's it.
He dropped your mic.
Oh, is my gain off? Am I over gaining on you guys now?
No, that's an awesome pick. I remember that lap, I think. And yeah, very, very good.
Just to refresh some of our memories. It was a race where Katarina Nash was coming back. She hadn't raced much. Either here in the U.S. or in Europe. And then in Namur, she remembers how much she loves that race and then went out crazy strong. She and DeBoer were fighting it out for the finish. And Namur, of course, features that off camber, which was
crazy, grooved off camber.
Right. And she managed to keep it upright, and it was there that she managed to push away. There were flats. DeBoer got a flat towards the very end, and as Katarina did earlier, and also Katarina was having trouble with her pedals that day.
That's right. I mean, a lot of people were, but yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good pick, David. Nice job. All right, Bill.
Me.
Best lap.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm sticking with the women's field, but I'm going to go with one of those late season races we remember, and Sonny Kant and Mariana Voss at the final lap of the world's race. You know, everybody keys in on Voss coming around that 180 and dropping her chain, but you know, you look back to what I had also mentioned, the course feature with those downhill switchbacks, where that same lap Kant went into the barrier and it could have been over right there. You know, she went down mm-hmm. and had to get back up and then chase down Voss. You know, Voss then has a mechanical and then she's able to catch it, and then it's just that race to the end. You know, just it even could be the last third or eighth lap, which is the most exciting.
Absolutely.
But you know, and just the outcome of that, is Sonny Kant getting her first rainbow jersey after years of disappointment. Yeah, that was one that I watched a couple times, and it was exciting every time.
Yeah, and the little pause that she does at that lip, intentional or not, still was like it was like a moment where in the men's final when Vandahar bombed the descent, where if you're sitting watching it, when that happened, you stood up. It's like, oh my, you know, he just like stood up and we're on your feet until the end. So yeah, that was just a great lap.
Here's also a little tidbit. People passing along these things to me. Sonny Kant switching to FMB tires next year.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Good for her.
Breaking news.
That's awesome. There we go.
What color are they?
Not green.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're going to go back to pink.
Sorry to hear about that.
Pink. Yeah, back to okay. Well, my pick for best lap, similar to yours, Bill, I picked, and that the elite women's race at Worlds was the second pick, and I had trouble deciding between that and the women's U23 lap between Ellen Noble and Anne-Marie Verst. I think at the end of the day, I picked that one just because I think the entire lap was just awesome. I mean, we were everybody, you know, on Twitter, people were going crazy. We were all just, you know, on the edge of our seat, watching those two go around. And like I think I said a couple shows ago, had the finish line, if you had that exact same course, but placed the finish line in another place, the outcome of that race could have been different just based on who was strongest at those elements of the course at that place right before the finish line. So I think, you know, when you watch that lap again, I just watched it again the other day. You see, Ellen Noble is really the stronger runner of the two. When they get off the bike and they're running, Ellen is catching her or moving a little bit past her. But then when they get back on the bike, I think Anne-Marie Verst was a little bit stronger through some of the real tight technical stuff. She wasn't even unclipping either foot. You know, she's riding both feet clipped in, swinging through some of that stuff where Noble was having to unclip on some of it. So I think those two things really were like, you know, they were balancing each other out, and it's why it came down to the closeness that it did. And that was just, I think we saw two of the best laps that we've seen all season. So I'm going to give that one a shout out, and that's going to be my pick for best lap.
Awesome.
Comments?
No. Can I add something to mine just because I forgot about it?
Sure.
I had been chatting with Mark Legg, Mr. KDF in Compton, about the point where Voss dropped her chain. Uh-huh. And, you know, we all had our theories about what happened in there.
Right.
And I guess Katie, when she was, pre-riding and doing her recon laps on that section, it was shifting but not completing the shift before having to backpedal to get around. So you came in there, you had a downshift,
gotcha.
and then not to have a pedal strike, you had a back pedal a little bit, and then come forward. And she noticed sort of the same thing, getting in trouble chain wise there, and made a mental note of it, and so they think that's what probably happened to Voss coming through there. So it was really tricky with having to shift and then also having to maneuver that section without hitting your crank,
without backpedaling.
Backpedaling, and that may have been what did her in.
That's very interesting because I think Simon Burney, I don't know if you guys remember, in the juniors race, talks about how Pidcock is intentionally not doing that. There's one point where if you really watch closely, you can see Pidcock in a couple points. And Simon Burney explains the tendency is to want to backpedal. And then, cause you got one foot unclipped, right? So you want to backpedal with your other foot. I don't know. You don't necessarily have it unclipped right there, but if you watch, you can see Pidcock, he never backpedals in those turns like that. He's consciously bringing the crank all the way around with his foot that's still clipped in, even when he's got another foot unclipped. So that's very interesting.
He was doing one leg intervals during half that race.
Yeah, it was.
Like he was unclipped with his leg tripoding and still pedaling.
Still putting power down.
Yeah.
He's very talented. Very talented for sure. So, all right. Well, that was interesting.
We had rumors about him too, although they've been denied that he was going to get signed by Trek Segafredo and be a world tour rider.
They say he's a little bit on the young side.
But they say, not yet.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to our third category in our list of eight is most surprising rider. I'll go first this time. I pick for most surprising rider, and it's not necessarily real surprising, but it's kind of surprising. I picked Tone Aerts with the European Championship win. I think once he got that jersey, we saw a whole different Tone Aerts, and I think we got to see him ride at a level that was a little bit surprising to me this year after he got that jersey. Unfortunately, obviously, he had the injury, and I think it would have been real interesting to see what he did at Worlds. But I think overall, when I look back, he's a guy that I wasn't thinking of very much at the beginning of the season. But by the end of the season, he was one of the, primary focuses on my radar at races. So I'm going with Tone Aerts and the European Championship win.
I think
it's a great choice.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's
the kind of thing that, we're hoping that he comes back strong because we need more people up there at the front to make these races more than a two-man duel.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. David, why don't you go next?
I'm going with Sophie DeBoer.
Ooh, nice. Good pick.
If you look at last season, she's always been a strong rider, so it's kind of not a huge surprise there. But on the other hand, she wasn't leading the field every day and fighting for the top spots. Certainly in Vegas, it was a surprise to see her right there. And you wondered, there at the very beginning, the opening of the season? Was this like a one-hit wonder? Or are we going to see more of this? And sure enough, from a consistency standpoint, from a strength standpoint, she was there in most every race.
Yep. Yep. And I think she's going to be someone that at the start of next season, we're going to be definitely, you know, really paying attention to in the women's field for sure. I think, you know, with the new team, she's got a lot going on for her going into next year. And so, yeah, I think that's a great pick. Any comments?
I agree.
I think that was a great pick, too. Good point, Scott.
All right, Bill, who do you got for most surprising rider?
The new era circus rider, Anne Marie Wurst, is my pick. And, you know, it's... Hello. My wife is heading off to work.
Have a good day, honey.
Have a good day.
On her vintage Allen cyclocross bike.
Nice.
Yeah, with the femur on the top tube. Remember those? I think it's a Libiton model.
Yeah. I vaguely do remember that.
Okay. Yeah. What was I saying?
I hope she doesn't break a chain.
No, I don't. I hope so too, or else I'll have to go and get her.
You have to get in the team Subaru to go all the way out to get her at the end of the driveway.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Bill.
Okay, Anne Marie Wurst. You know, I think we were all surprised when she finished third at the what race was that? Hoogerheide. Just a week before Worlds, and you know, there's this U23. Yeah, she was in and out of these races, but really did not race a lot. And then all of a sudden, coming up with that result, getting on the podium of Hoogerheide, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, there's definitely a favorite going into the World Championship, and it's a rider that we hadn't always seen. So So and then just a almost, you know, flawless race, a great battle with Ellen Noble that David already talked about. But yeah, I thought that she was my surprise rider.
Yes, no, I think that's a great pick. She was definitely on my short list as somebody who, and I always think of this category, it's like, who were we not even thinking about at the beginning of the season?
Right.
At the beginning of next season, we're going to really be paying attention to. That's how I kind of to view this category. And I think everybody that we just mentioned is on that list for sure.
So,
for
yeah.
Sure. And just, go us.
Yeah. And then even the Fiji Region Lazio, that was some pronunciation right there, World Cup, she got fourth also. So, two top fives in World Cups in the elite field, because there is no U23 separate race. And then first,
unfortunately, you know, like you said, she didn't race much but when she did, she was, you know, she had a pretty high result even in the elite women's field. So yeah, she was had a great season for her. You can't argue that. All right, we are through, let's see, three categories. We'll do one more and then we'll do a question, Bill.
Sounds like a good plan.
All right, so our fourth category on our list is looking for a comeback. So this is people who we think probably had a disappointing year to themselves, mostly, as much as anything, and that we're probably going to, you know, look for a comeback with them next year. And who goes first for this one?
Is this me again?
Okay, this can be David again. David, your pick for looking for a comeback.
I think we're going with the man himself, Mr. Lars Vandahar.
Ooh.
Good, yeah.
You know, you could have said that this was going to be his comeback year, but I think with the between the injury and then the new team and everything, and now his things will settle out, and he doesn't have to play second fiddle to Tomica and can be the rider in charge of apologies in the peloton. I'm thinking Lars Vandahar is going to be the man.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, and he's always, for listeners that don't know, he's always been one of David's favorites.
He has.
I remember there was some race, not this season but last season, that you didn't get to see the race, and I did, and I came late, and I walked up to you. The first thing you said to me is, "What did Vandahar do?"
There you go. I had the opportunity to meet him at Cross Vegas a couple of years ago, and one of the nicest guys. That you'll
yeah.
and one of the funniest guys around it. I think you remember, Scott, that was the year that I carried the recorder at the press conference, and he was talking about coming to the U.S. a couple of weeks early before Cross Vegas to learn the lingo. And he was from the folks at Giant in Northern California, Southern California.
Adam Craig, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we learned things like
gnarly.
Totally gnarly, dude.
Totally. Yeah. And there's recordings of it on the old bike shop shows if people want to go back. So, yes. Good pick. Bill, looking for a comeback.
Yeah. The other thing with Lars Vanderhaar that's been fun to watch and sort of see his changing tactics. There's no like Vanderhaar shot, no longer a thing. You know, I mean, he's a much, much smarter racer now. And I think that's going to.
Yeah, he's more of a complete racer now, yeah. I think. Yeah. You know, he's not just a one show thing. He's got he can put a whole race together now. So, yeah, I think that's a great pick. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I will go ahead. I am going to say your most surprising rider, Scott, is my looking for a comeback rider. So Tone Aerts. Yeah, just having an amazing season.
After the injury.
So coming back next year from that injury, looking to see great things from him. And also, you know, as you said, David, Mason may be gone, but it's not like Lars doesn't have some competition for leader of that team. If Tone Aerts comes back full steam ahead, he definitely was the guy out there that could stay with the dynamic duo the longest. So it'll be interesting at the top of that Telenet team.
I think it will. And then I understand that Quickstep is looking for, the floor covering company.
Yes, yeah.
You're looking for someone that's not going to be gun shy when they see carpet remnants on the course.
I don't know what you're talking about. we might have a chance to talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Well, those are both great picks. My pick for looking for a comeback, I kind of went with maybe the obvious here, but Jeremy Powers. I think definitely.
Yeah, no, not obvious at all. That's a great pick.
Definitely an off year for Jeremy Powers. Things looked good going into Trek here in the U.S., and then he had that, a crash that at the time didn't look as serious, I think, as it was. Nobody really got to see it. Not many people really got to see it because it happened at a really weird place on the course. And at the time, nobody, I don't think, thought it was as serious as it was, and it kind of just put him behind us rock all year long. And he just, in my opinion, he never got things, he never got it back on the rails after that point. So I think I'm hoping that with a whole off season now, he can hit the reset button and come back strong for next season, both in the U.S. and in Europe. And we'll see what happens there. So that's my pick for looking for a comeback. Yeah, Jeremy Power.
And there's always the, rumors or people want to sort of force him into retirement. I think that happened a lot even last year and then during this year as well. And I can tell you by the text messages that I was getting about the new schedule and what was where and who was doing what when and the sort of sense of excitement, urgency, and a little bit like very concerned text from Powers is that he ain't retiring.
Yeah, not this year. I mean, maybe someday. But
yeah, he's already just ready to crush next season and wants to make sure that schedule is all set and he can start planning now. So yeah,
he's like, Bill, how could you conflict with Gloucester?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because we're gonna see him at DCCX. I don't think that's I think he'll be at
all right.
I think you have a choice to make, DCCX or Coxida. You know, you can decide which one. There's you want
no choice. That's no choice. DCCX is much easier to pronounce.
Less sand, I'll tell you that.
And easier to spell.
Yeah. Hey, should we go back to our Australian reader, viewer, Alex? Reader.
Yes, absolutely. Alex.
We can just catch up on some of his picks, because I think he's got some ones that are a little different here, which are good to just throw in here. I'll just read them off. So best course feature we already talked about. He agreed with you all with the Belgian Nationals flyover. Best lap of the season, last lap of the women's Copenberg cross, where Julien Verschuren and Thalita de Jong battled for the win. That's a great call, Alex. I forgot about that one. That was an amazing last lap and came down to, you know, the hill sprint at the end where Verschuren was able to pull away and win it. But yeah, that was a really good one. A lot of close rubbing his racing in there. Really, really good pick.
Yep.
Looking for a comeback. Another great pick, Alex. Alice Arzufi.
Yep.
You know, with that just really horrible crash during Worlds, which was really scary to watch. Mm-hmm. And she seems to be on the mend and looking forward to a good comeback for her, because she had a great year as well up until that moment.
Yep.
All right, and I think that catches us up to where we are with Alex.
Yeah. Cool. Did you want to do another one? You want to talk about anything?
Let's see what else we... Oh, we did. I guess following up on my Lauren Swick last week, I was talking about Swick being a disappointment, him and Vanternout. Comparing him and Michael Vanternout. So Sterling, just wanted to say, as a big Swick fan, I would like to point out that Vanternout's season has been more disappointing. Ease up on the most adorable suffer face and cross. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry to the Swick family.
The most adorable suffer face.
Jens Dekker checking back in. We wanted to have Jens on the show. We may have actually this morning might have been the time to do it. I thought we were going to be originally we were supposed to record last night, which would have been no way he would have been able.
Yeah, it would have been like 2 a.m. for him. Yeah.
But so we had a quick reschedule. So here's a lot of like catching up from our last TDD TIE.
As usual, Jens puts us to shame.
No, yeah, he's good. I like it. He's able to sort of annotate.
Oh yeah, he keeps us honest. I love it. Absolutely.
So we were talking about, or we actually had a question about what the protocol was for testing bikes for motors. You know, what Wout has to be able to circumvent to get away with.
the spinning wheel.
Most controversial moment is the next category.
Oh, okay. But here's. Jens, so they do quite a lot of motor testing in European races at World Cups. Everyone's start bike is tested, and I think all the pit bikes as well. Not sure about normal UCI races, but I think I've seen that a few times as well. He was disappointed that during the Hoogstraten race recap, we did not talk about Tom Mason's broken saddle, which was, that was
pretty. And he capped that. He was like yelling at us. Come on, Jens.
Scott's been getting a cut from the folks at SDG. So, we don't talk about saddles unless they're SDG saddles.
he also, good comment about, we were talking about, the conversation started with USA Cycling contemplating having a U.S. series again, similar to the U.S. GP. And, we sort of discussed if governing bodies should be running series, and it's similar to what the UCI does with the World Cup. And Jens' comment there is that so it's basically how the Super Prestige series started with races all over Europe, and driven by money, it turned into an all-Belgian festival because that's where the money and the public is. UCI is keeping international enough to be a World Cup, which I agree. That is the good thing about having the UCI there, that it makes it possible to have these races all over the world.
It's a truly international series.
Yeah, instead of just in Belgium and then just in one section of Belgium.
Yeah, exactly. Did you want to go on or do you want to keep going?
No.
Did you want to go on or do you want to keep going?
I don't know how to answer that.
I think you followed his pick for the best lap.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
So, I don't think we talked about it here. It definitely was a highlight on the internet, and I know people discussed it, but Jens's pick for best lap is the final lap of the Italian National Championship race, which just is amazing and insane and like nothing. If anybody wants to criticize grass crits and how that's either boring or not part of cyclocross, go watch that Italian National Championship race and it will change your mind.
Can we put the link in the show notes, Bill?
We can do that.
Yeah, because it's a, and I love it too. Like we were just saying, it's like it's the Italian version of Richard Fries that's announcing it, right?
Right. Yeah, it's everything. It's the whole package. It's the racing plus just everything going on.
The background music is AC/DC. you know, I mean, they're playing Thunderstruck with this guy in Italian talking is like just like you know Richard Fries, and it's funny because I've heard people. I've actually had some of the Brits have asked me before, why does Richard Fries get so excited at races? You know,
well, the Brits don't get
I guess they're used to more of a calm. I guess they're used to more of a calm race announcer, and they were kind of startled by how like animated Richard Fries was. I think it was after Milton Keynes. I got some emails about that. And then
this isn't Wimbledon,
right? But then you see this, and it's like, yeah, see the Italian announcer just as animated for sure as Richard Fries gets, if not more so.
Yeah.
It's just the whole package. I mean, there's elbow and there's putting people into tape, but in a race way, not like, you know, not in a chippy way. I don't think they're not just putting people in. They're doing it to gain the advantage in turns and stuff. And no one's fighting about it. They're just all kind of swerving in and out. It's just a great lap.
No Australian wheel grabs or anything crazy.
No. Yeah, nothing like that. No, it's just guys flat out trying to be the first one across the finish line, right? Yeah. And nobody's intentionally trying to hurt or do anything to anybody. They're just each trying to gain the advantage for themselves as they go. So that is great. Yeah, it was a great pick. So
yeah, no, we will have the link in the up at cxrs.com for you with the and in the. In the show notes for the podcast. But speaking of Australia, how's that for a segue? We did also get an email from the co-founder of the Fields of Joy Cyclocross, and that's happening in Australia. Peter, thank you for the email. So first UCI race happening in Australia, which is which is exciting.
Yeah, guys, next UCI race on the schedule is Australia. Right now, Peter, all eyes are on Melbourne.
That's right.
No pressure.
No pressure.
And
it's not an ICU race or anything. It doesn't go backwards because it's in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And
other than wanting everyone to go down for the Fields of Joy CX race, he also chimed in on our discussion about the Oceania Continental Championship and just what their plan is. You know, it's definitely something that they're eyeing in the future, but for now they want to get a couple C1s on the continent, and then follow that up maybe like in 2019 with an Oceania Continental Championship. So
yeah,
look forward to that.
Yeah, and he gives us all kinds of good information. For people thinking about going, he's saying, you know, there's lots of accommodations near the course, so no need for vehicles. There's lots of host families that they've already got set up or at least know about. So lots of cool stuff. And I'm sure if you just go and if people are interested in going either for spectating or racing or whatever, if you contacted Peter, Fields of Joy, they're always very helpful. And he would definitely pass on any of this information to you and help you in any way that you needed if it's something you're considering. Because they really want people to come. They just really want the international community to come to Melbourne for that first race, which would be very cool. So yeah, we'll
it's just a quick flight out of China, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually not that far.
My one disappointment is that it's the same weekend as Val di Sole Mountain Bike World Cup.
Oh, yeah, that's gonna.
So it's conflict. You mountain bike. It's that's conflict for me. Cry me a river. I'll be in Italy and won't be able to go to Australia.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I'm sorry. Should we just finish up our letters since I think we got one more?
Yeah,
that we need
sure.
To,
let's just knock them out.
All right. So this is from fellow Wide Angle Podium podcast host Greg from the Honest Bicycle program. He says, "Hey there, Scott, David, and Bill."
Okay, stop right there.
Yes, okay.
I just want people to notice. Greg, I got to thank Greg right there for saying, "Hey there, Scott, David, and Bill." Because as viewers know, it usually is, "Hey, Bill, and other guys." So, Greg, you're the man. All right, go ahead.
Scott will be putting all of his Wide-Angle Podium funds towards the Honest Bicycle program.
There you go.
Hey there, Scott.
Bill
David,
comes in Kevin's place there. I see.
And Bill in Kevin's place. The shout out to Aaron Facone on the last TDDTI was great. Let's not forget her Averica teammate, Julie Wright. I think we did mention her in passing, but I did not come back to her, but who's been crushing it this season as well. Team Averica is the elite women's program of B2C2 cycling out of Boston, Massachusetts. The support is from a local biotech company, Averica, who are really excited to be on board with the team. They were both able to go over to Europe with a mechanic, watch Worlds, do a couple of the races afterwards. Great experience for them. What I love is that this team is able to, you know, we're talking about funding and supporting and how, you know, sponsors need to pick up some of the slack as well when their racers are going to Europe. And this is a team that's doing that. So that's yeah, pretty awesome. And
that is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to make Averica great again.
So you can follow Averica at Team Averica on Twitter. And then I saw the Aaron's stickers, the Facone Zone stickers, but I guess there's the Right Way stickers too for Julie. We don't want to leave Julie out of here. Great job, Julie. And so there you go. I think that covers it. I think we did all of our viewer mail.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right, let's move on. We got our next. Our fifth category for us out of the eight.
Oh, wait. No, I got to add Mark. Mark from Melbourne. Another. Another Australian. He had which race was this? What race was this?
Was that the guy with snakes on a flight there? Snakes on a plane?
He has this crazy. Is it an Australian race?
With the big puddle.
Yeah.
I think so. It might have been. I don't know. It's another cool link. We should just put the link.
It's 2016 Vic State Cyclocross Champion.
There we go. There we go. Yeah.
And I'll put the link into there. Also, it's it's pretty nutty looking. And a mechanic's dream there with that huge wet dish.
When you first said, "Oh, the one with the big puddle on it," that's one thing, you know. But that's truly a stream crossing.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true, true. It's not technically.
So that is a feature. Well, I mean,
it being Australia, that was like that's not a puddle. This is a puddle. That's
there you go. Those are gators.
That was his pick for feature of the year, so people can go check that out. And
did I jump the gun on that?
No.
Oh, no, that was the first one.
That's fine. That was the first category. So, no, we're cool. I just wanted to clarify all we're doing is picking feature of the year. So.
Right now, we've run into coffee number two, which I have not gotten yet. So, it's starting.
Me either. I'm like between two cups of coffee that I normally drink every morning.
That's going to be our new talk show, Between Two Cups of Coffee.
We got to get a coffee sponsor.
Oh, there you go.
Give a call out to Grimpier Brothers, man.
I was just gonna say, Grimpier Brothers, come on, we need our own. Oh, that's it, man. We need.
They don't do that in Europe. Coffee
mix, right there. Get Dan on the phone right now.
We're calling for you, Dan.
It'll be a test. It'll be a test to see if he's listening. He's a fan.
Yeah, he'll hear that for sure. Absolutely. So. Okay. We're on to most controversial moment. I cannot remember whose turn it is to pick first, so I'll just pick first. Most controversial moment. This was a tough one to pick because, as one of the viewers wrote into us and said, that there was no real big controversial moment. So what I'm picking, as David has kind of already mentioned, I'm going to pick the Fiuggi course in general. I think there was some problems with that course. With the carpet on the course, the cables crossing the course, we had one major injury in Tone Aerts, and then also Arzufi was injured on that course as well. So as a whole, I just thought that maybe might have been one of the controversial moments that we kind of talked about this season was. Were there some problems with that course? Should that course have been designed a little bit better? Things maybe thought of a little bit differently, and maybe that would have been a little bit of a safer course. So that was my pick, that Italian Fiuggi World Cup course in general. Comments?
No, I think so. And maybe even, you know, we talked about Hartford and that course, and Asheville sort of had the same thing, but they had contingency plans, you know, and it was the ability to take out sections and put in sections depending on, you know, what we saw that first day where it was, you know, the butt slide at Hartford, and then that was taken out because, as fun as it looked, you know, on YouTube, it definitely wasn't a great racing element, and it, you know,
the ability to plug and play. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe some of that would have been better for that, or maybe they had it, but yeah, who knows? But
yeah, and
my point on that one was that if we look at Hartford, that was a difficult course feature, and then you throw in the snow that was, or the mud for the early racing, that complicated a difficult course feature. But just throwing out carpet remnants, or even if they were more than just that, but And cables crossing the course, that just shouldn't have been set up that way.
Yeah, and even, you know, somebody was like, well, it was fine the whole day. I was like, well, it was fine until it wasn't.
Right.
And that, as a race director, as a course designer, you got to be thinking about that. What this is going to be like, not in ideal situations, but in real cyclocross situations when it's been raced on all day.
Right.
Yeah, right. And then just, you know, having a tree as a kind of as a post on a downhill.
Yeah.
You know, that's where Tone was injured. And, you know, a tree as a post in some, you know, real slow section on a, you know, hairpin turn or something where things are real slow. But when you're like three quarters of the way down a downhill and you've got this tree sticking out and that's the post, that's the edge line of the course. That's just really dangerous.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, again, it's they don't do that in Europe. It's one of those things I can tell you from setting up the DCCX course that our UCI commissar didn't let us do, and on an uphill,
right?
You know, at the top of an uphill, using a tree to come back down, they were like, nope, you need a stake there in front of the tree. Like, okay.
Yeah, so I just think there's some things that could have been thought about a little bit differently on that course, and hopefully that will improve for the next season. So,
well, I don't think they're on they're not on the
no, but I just mean schedule. In general.
Yeah.
Any new World Cup course, yeah, they'll consider things like they saw there, so and get better at it, which is all we can ask for, right? So, no. David.
Yes, sir.
Go next. Most controversial moment of the season.
I wish it were only a moment. I think it happened
17
more
times.
Than almost lapped riders.
Oh, good
pick, yeah. Man. I completely like lost track of that. Yes, but that is a really good pick.
In particular, in the women's elite racing, they gotta just do that better. It is not only can it upset the race, and it gets a little confusing watching when suddenly you thought someone was in leading the race, and suddenly they're chasing through, or it looks like they're chasing on. That obviously you just pay attention a little bit clearer, but these women, luckily this year, everyone kind of saw it coming and pulled over to the side. But if you make the wrong call on a line and you're pulling to one side and you end up pulling across in front of Mariana Voss rather than just getting out of her way, then we're looking at some serious issues.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before that happens. If the lapped riders continue, it's only a matter of time before that happens, you know.
There
so I agree. Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and we even had some of that happening at Nationals during a lot of the, you know, age group races that they weren't pulling anybody, and the lap traffic definitely became a factor in some of those races. And the problem is that there's no rule, so you're looking at sort of the courtesy of the lapped riders, who most of them, I'd say 90% of them, are like, oh man, here come the leaders, let me get to the side. But there are some Masters men who are like, hey man, I'm racing for spots, and these guys I'm racing against, I'm not gonna, you know, take my foot off the pedal and then move over to the side and lose out my, you know, 47th place to the guy.
And it's
the kind of thing, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, I do think that you should get out of the way of these guys, but at the same time, I do think that I am not disparaging 47th place. I think that's important. I mean, if your goal is to get top 50 at Nationals, then you want to race that whole way. So there has to be something, you know, sort of in the middle there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agree.
And when you're racing, you get your head down, and you know, you may not be paying attention enough to be looking back and know that Stephen Hyde coming behind you, and not Stephen Hanks, the guy that's in 48th place.
Right.
Sorry, Stephen Hanks. I know you're a better racer than that. But
who also happens to wear a green kit.
There you go.
Right. No, that's a great pick, David. So, Bill, what's your pick? Most controversial moment?
My most controversial moment happened pretty early in the season, going back to Jingle Cross. The result? Awesome. Katie Compton winning the World Cup race in 37 minutes, I think, was a problem.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
So the short shrift given to the women's field in a World Cup race, you know, 40 is supposed to be the minimum. I know it got close to there, but really that should have been, they could have done another lap in that race. And it's just always, I don't know what it is. I understand it. And again, I know the officials have a hard job to try to figure out those lap times, and it's not an exact science, but that just seemed way too short.
Yeah, I agree. And it happened several times this season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all in World Cups, but in other races where the women's race seemed to be a bit short. But I agree with you, but that was the most glaring one.
I can say from experience that if Scott and I were refereeing that race, we would have, after two to go, we would just put up another sign that says two to go.
Yeah. Which in a World Cup would have been awesome. I'm sure that nobody would have minded that at all.
But not to make excuses for them, but I think part of the problem was the lap times were so much slower the day before because of conditions.
No, I know. It was a lot of things, and it was a tough go. I just think it was, so maybe not even controversial, but more disappointing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great pick. I'm glad I'm glad you reminded us all of that, because it's definitely.
And if it were a single occurrence, that'd be one thing. And it's difficult, no question. But this is the top level of the sport being, you know, judged by hopefully the top level officials. Therefore, they should be able to get it straight.
Yeah, and maybe it's something that I'll come back to and touch on again when we do our things to change for next year.
Oh, darn. There you go. Stole it from me again.
And maybe we should err on the side of being long rather than short.
Right. Especially at a World Cup. I can see officials who get, you know, who know that, you know, they're working with a promoter. And if you're just doing your normal weekend local race, or even our C1, C2 races where you have a whole a whole schedule of races, you know, 8 races throughout the day, that if any of them get off, then you're just going to screw up the rest of the day. That's not the case at the World Cup. You only have 2 races. So
exactly. All right. Good picks, guys.
Three. You won't get blown up on the Twittersphere by all the women racers saying they made us go too long,
right,
even if they go over 50 minutes.
Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay. Now, see, I thought that was going to be, that's always like one of the best topics that we talk about because it like brings up all
these controversial.
Issues. Yeah,
it's I just for all of our viewers, I just want to note Scott Diedenbach in most controversial moment did not talk about the pits, did not complain, so no letters
Thank
about that.
Thank you. Thank
you. Yeah, he laughed a lot too. Let's Maybe get just gotta get him in the morning.
Let's get some emails about that. You were sure I was gonna pick something like that.
No, I think you've been scared away from it now.
All right. Well, moving on to our next category. Our next category is CXer of the Year. Now, this isn't necessarily like the person that we thought had the best season. That's why we call it CXer of the Year. It's what rider do we think embodies in this season embodied what we think it means to be a cyclocross racer. So it's not really results based as much as it is just attitude and heart based. At least that's the way I approach it when I'm thinking about it. So Bill, I don't think you've gone first since the other of us have. So
went before.
I'll go first.
So
with all of that preamble to it doesn't have to be the best or the one who won, I'm going with Sonny Kondt. I think that winning the world championship is something that has, you know, been, as she said, it was the greatest day of her life. You know, it was something that obviously winning a world championship, if you're in cyclocross, is your ultimate goal. And she's had some disappointing years, some disappointing seconds, you know, and has always raced a strong season before that. So finally, you know, winning that rainbow jersey was an amazing accomplishment. But more than that, you know, one, having a Belgian women's world championship, I think, is huge for the sport and is going to put even more of a spotlight on women's cyclocross and even bring up that bar even farther and closer to the men. And we're already starting to see that she is using that rainbow jersey as a bully pulpit, and it is awesome. She didn't race Slaven. She said the money's not good enough. You know, it doesn't even have to be equal at this point to the men. It's got to be closer though. And it was just insulting what they were offering her as start money, as her contract. So she sat out. And I think that's awesome. And I, you know, I applaud her decision to do that and having that power of the world championship to be able to do that now. And I think that's going to force promoters' hands, you know, at least I hope it does. And it's going to bring
and that's the exact kick-ass attitude that wins you CXer of the Year.
Yeah, because it's not just winning it, but it's what she's doing with it now.
Yep.
She's using that power. So I think it's awesome, and I hope that it brings on some of these changes that we talk about every week quicker.
Yeah, great pick. David, you want to go next?
You know what? I was, as Bill started his glowing report there, I was starting to now backpedal and try to figure out who was going to be my CXer of the Year, so I didn't just sound like I'm copying Bill. But I'm not going to even change it.
No, that's fine.
It's Sonny Kondt. And in addition to what you've already said, racing in the crucible of racing that is Belgium for the CXers, for her to manage to overcome all that she did, as well as in a place where equality isn't always celebrated across all of their racers, she managed to overcome that. And after last year's disappointment and previous year's disappointment to not win that jersey that she was in some places expected to win. And that was the only, it was first loser, right? If you didn't win for Sonny Kondt in the pressure that she was in, and she overcame all of that. To see that face that she had when she finished and laid on the ground and just total emotional wreck, if you will.
It was
crazy. And to hear her say, since she was 6 years old, that's all she wanted. I mean, there you go. Sonny Kondt, I salute you. Haven't always been the biggest fan of Sonny Kondt's racing, but her heart, man, is there. And I really have to say, I'm really impressed by Sonny Kondt. On the controversy that was not quite all my loving, I have to say that, and I threw it out there, and I on the Twitter sphere, and luckily I didn't get all the trollers that I expected. That's because I only want to make sure that it does not become a self-fulfilling prophecy of, see, women's racing is not as exciting as men's because the big names don't show up. And I salute Sana for making that statement, and I hope that it is taken appropriately and taken fairly, and they do start to pay out the way they should. It's enough said. I'm not going down that rant of equality in women's racing until we get further down the list.
Because you got to get to work in a few hours, and you could go that whole
time. I could.
All right. Well, no, that's a great pick, you guys. I can't argue one thing against that. My pick, though, for CXer of the Year is not Sonny Kant. It is, however, one of the other Belgian women in the sport, and that is Ellen Van Looy. I think Ellen Van Looy did not get a major win this season, but, man, the lady just battled at the front of every field this season. All season long, she is one of the older women in the field that's still racing. She goes out every week and is battling at the front, and is just, you know, she's always there. She was there at Belgian Nationals. She was there in World Cups, but still, you know, without having a huge successful race where she, you know, got a big victory or anything, but it doesn't deter her one bit, and she's coming back and battling week in, week out. So I was watching all season long. You just saw Ellen Van Looy at the front over and over and over again. And didn't let the lack of a big victory deter her, I didn't think, and just kept coming back and, you know, coming back for more, you know. So she is my pick for CXer of the Year is Ellen Van Looy.
And I can't think of a women's race that she wasn't animating it from the front from the get-go.
Yeah. So I just and that to me is, you know, that's what Cross is about, is overcoming. And she just overcame everything this year and just never gave up. So
overcoming, if not necessarily overwinning.
Exactly. Yes. So, all right. Well, heavy on the Belgian women, you know, until the only other one is Verdonschot, right? That's the only other Belgian women in the field regularly. And
for sure.
We were heavy on the Belgian women for CXer of the Year. And it's awesome. So, all right. Now, our second to last category, we're going to put in the new category that Bill suggested a couple weeks ago. And that is changes you'd like to see at the top level of the sport. Bill, it's your category. I'm going to let you run with it, man.
Wow. I got to go first twice in a row. Dave is a little upset, but he's throwing
the flag. Because you're going to pick the same thing I'm picking.
He's throwing a flag. I am going to cede my time to Mr. David Pallon.
All right. Hit us, David.
I'm going to read a letter from Corinne. Never mind. No, I'm not doing that, man. Changes at the top level. We talk about it all year long. It's time for equality for women. Equal time, equal payouts, and equal start money.
Yep. So before...
Where's the controversy, you guys? Argue with me about something.
Before we even get to Bill, I can just say that's the same thing I pick. Equal pay. Specifically equal pay. I think that's the first thing. And if that requires equal race time, then that's fine. I think like we've said before, all elite races should just be 50 minutes, men, women, U23, and even, you know, elite juniors, U19. And after that, the times can be less for younger riders than that. And equal pay.
Yeah, I'm just going to, like, not even pretend that I had anything different. My first one was, you know, the equal time and the equal pay. I think the 50-minute elite races, would love to see that. The only additional thing, I think you sort of threw it into your list there, Scott, but the additional thing I'd like to highlight is that there's no excuse for there not to be a junior women's race at Worlds, and there should be a separate U23 women's field at World Cups.
Yes.
Those are, you know, and eventually a junior women's as well, but at least let's, you know, and the I think the reasoning has always been that the numbers aren't there, but I think we're at the point where, you know, build it and they will come, and those fields will definitely fill up.
Include and as well a separate because we talked about this, a separate junior women's race at U.S. Nationals.
Yeah, and you know, and that was I heard from from Micah Rice on down about that, about our criticism of that race, and I think we even talked about why we thought it wasn't possible, and it truly is. It's the points. You don't want to rob any points from those racers by having them in a category that's not a UCI category, so you don't want to separate out the juniors
right.
from the U23s, and that's why they didn't do that, in case those juniors, which happened for us, you know, we had a couple, the winner of the juniors CX US National Championship race, the U23 Worlds race, if she's not in that race, she doesn't get those points, so her staging isn't improved. So I understand that. So that's a legit point. So that's why USA Cycling is doing that. So the way to combat that is we just need that separate race at the UCI level.
Right. And then that gives you, and that, yeah. And then
you're able to have a junior women's race at CX Nats, elite race, and then they don't have to be racing with the U23s.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having a U23 women's race at World Cup is very important too. That's got to happen.
Yeah.
That's just got to happen. So, well, that was, you know, I'm glad we are all on the same page with that. Nobody said anything like crazy. Although what I mean, everything's kind of based around equality for women, but there are some other things probably if you sat and thought about it that would be in the list of things you'd like to see changed.
Yeah.
This one is so far above everything else, in my opinion.
Domestically, and we talked about it some, even on, you know, aside from seeing a top level elite, you know, unicorn that we always talk about, having the, you know, another USGP come back and take over at the top level, so we have a real series with a jersey and all that kind of stuff. I'd like to see the reemergence of regional UCI series in the US. I think that'd be huge and really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, real good, strong, solid.
Vittoria up in New England doing it now, and of course they do a great job, but you know, we'd love to see two or three other regional series as well.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys, it's time to get to the most fun category of them all, usually. Guys, you remember what that is? The being excellent.
Woo-hoo.
It's our Bill and Ted Award. the being excellent award. And so for people, this is anybody in the sport. It can be a racer. It can be a guy or girl who empties the trash at the course. You know, it can be anyone involved in cross in any way. We're just going to give a shout out to because they have made the sport a little bit better for somebody or a little bit more fun for all of us or anything in between. So, Bill, since you kind of hedged last time.
Nope, I'm going with you, Scott. You're first.
Okay, I'll go first. My award, this was a tough one for me this year. I was trying, I couldn't, like, the last couple years I've had an obvious choice of something I noticed and kind of it played out throughout the course of the season and really made it an obvious pick. But for this season, I'm going more with that somebody who's kind of made the cross season more enjoyable for us. And I'm not even sure it's only one person, but I'm going with confetti cannon guy or girl. whoever that is, or even if it's multiple people, has definitely made this season much more excellent to watch and much more enjoyable. We've had fun with that all year long. So confetti cannon person is my pick for being excellent this year.
Can I tell you that actually played into Derek Bouchard Hall's keynote speech at the directors meeting, and it was a local association meeting too. Yeah. So what he did was part of his PowerPoint presentation is that he was showing, you know, what, you know, basically what USA Cycling was doing, but also just what we as racers and everything else were doing. So he just was showing the cyclocross nationals finish lines. So uh-huh. it was production value from around the world.
Right.
And you had like the Netherlands with Mariana Voss coming through, and it was kind of this just sort of boring, you know, normal, looked like any other race of any other week. It wasn't a lot going on. You know, they had people there, and, you know, Italy, and like I think it was even France, where like Caroline Moniz coming across the line, like nobody's there, you know, it's just sort of not that big deal. And then this picture of Hyde coming across with his bike above his head, there's people lined all the way back and the confetti cannons on both sides. So it's just this, it just looks like this wall of snow of confetti.
This rain of confetti.
All of these people and just this great truss and everything. I mean, it looked like a world championship race. I'll have to try to find the photo, but he's like, and he kept going back and forth between Voss and Hyde coming through, just wanting, you know, going Netherlands. And like even I think it was UK, he was also, you know, throwing some shade on them as well. But yeah, but always coming back to the picture of Hyde. And it looked amazing. And it was like the perfectly timed shot. And it was just, you know, right when the confetti was all just flowing.
In full bloom.
Yeah, in full bloom, exactly.
So yeah, I just think, you know, that person has, or people have made Cross much more excellent for us this season.
Thank you, anonymous Dutch fan.
That's right. All right, Bill, you have to go second at least.
I have to go second? All right.
Yeah.
Well, this may be a little cheesy, but I think it's
true.
Well,
that's what we expect.
He's going to pick you and ice cone.
Oh, if only. But close. I'm picking all of our Crosshairs radio and wide angle podium viewers that I think have supported us in what we do, and then I think that this year more than any, the interaction that we've had with folks and the feedback and having the helpline and all of that kind of fun stuff really it made it. For me, it made it a ton of fun, and I've thought these episodes have just been gone really well, and just super enjoyable. And I think it's awesome. I think we've built a nice community here, and hope it continues for seasons to come. Along with that, we have a lot of other podcasts too on the Wide Angle Podium Network that I would love for you all to check out. The Slow Ride podcast is always at the top of their game. It's one you need to listen to.
I mean, they're not as good as us.
No,
but
of course not. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they need, if their segues were a little better, maybe, but I think we still got them.
I mean, we're not out there hawking every week that someone should be on our show. I just
Honest Bicycle Program. We had Greg chime in here. Definitely worth checking out. Consummate athlete. But the one, you know, the way that I am producing and very pleased with is the Dirt Field Recordings with Lindsay Bear. So go check that one out as well. But go to wideanglepodium.com. Become a member. We really need more members. To keep going, especially because we're looking at even more and more shows to add. And I think that this network is going to grow a lot in the coming months. You can give $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, whatever you want to do. And then you get to mark the shows that you want to support. So you can just check off Crosshairs Radio. You can check off the Dirt Field recordings or what other shows you want to support. And yeah. That was sort of excellent along with a little membership pitch thrown into one.
Yeah, no, but our viewers, the being excellent for our viewers is just top notch, like you said. And a big uptick in downloads this year, so that's always awesome to see, you know. Yeah. And so we're very humbled
and
by
for
it.
All of our favorite bicycle industry friends, or even those outside of the bicycle industry, podcasting is the place to advertise.
Yes.
Websites, you know, ad block. You can always do an ad block on there. Like, for instance, if you were a life insurance company, say you were Health IQ and you wanted to advertise on these podcasts, you are going to get the viewership that you want. You're going to get cyclists who are in shape and they can get better rates for. And it's the type of thing.
If you ride 50 miles a week.
Yeah. Yeah. And all you have to do is go to healthiq.com/CXHairs, fill out a little survey, And then they're going to be able to get you better rates than anywhere else. And life insurance, not necessarily for you, but sometimes we have to be, you know, selfless and think about our loved ones to support when we're not here anymore. So do that also.
Yeah.
HealthIQ.com/CXHairs.
Yeah,
so while you're throwing out the power of the podcast out there, Bill, is it time for us to like flex our muscles and put the call out so that George Hincapie will finally go on with Slow Ride?
I think they may have to just stop their podcast if we got them first.
Yeah, there we go.
We just put them out of business.
They'd have nothing to talk about.
No, but seriously, you know, for like you said, Bill, for the companies, a podcast, man, it is the sweet spot of your target audience, you know? So, yeah. But again, back to the award, the being excellent. Yes. Our viewers are excellent. So, David.
Wow. After all that big love fest, I don't know what I can do. I'm looking at who it is that gives back and helps develop. And certainly the Jam Fund is one of those. But one that was one of our first big guests way back when, Scotty D, and has not only contributed with her attitude and her knowledge of the sport for so many years, but has now gone out and started developing a particular rider. Ms. Helen Wyman.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Are you going to expand anymore?
It is obvious. I mean, her work with Amera is wonderful. Her work on the UCI committee, we like to rail about women's equality. We wouldn't be where we are today being able to rail that they got to get to that next step if it weren't for the work that Helen has done in getting women where we are today.
So you're saying it almost like the next Wyman?
The next
Wyman.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's a great pick. I agree. With what they've done, I was hoping that when they were over here, her and Amira were over here, we'd get to spend some time, them and some of the Women CX Project riders, but that didn't happen. But yeah, it's just something I've admired what she's doing all season long. So I think that's a great pick, David. Was there anything else you wanted to gush about Helen Wyman?
No, I'd love to see her here in Michigan. I'll just throw it out there.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah. We'll put her up. She wants to come race at Matt Anthony. We'd love to have her. You know, we talk about that fort that was here to keep the British out.
And Steph is pretty good, too, I guess.
Steph is a great guy.
So, all right. Well, that's a good... guys, I think we've completed the list.
I think we did.
Normally, at this point in my notes, I have upcoming races. I guess I should have put Australia on there.
Right.
Yeah. Melbourne C2 coming up in August. But what are our plans?
We got the Werrigan party race coming up.
Yeah, that's true. There
the
is
unsanctioned.
Jens Decker is going to keep us honest. See?
Yeah, and you know, we can see how high Mason can jump this year.
Yeah, the barrier jumping.
Now that he's been freed of his chains.
Exactly.
The time trial and the barrier jumping competition. Do you guys want to throw in any thoughts overall about the season, how it's been? What do you think? Anything like that?
No.
Yes? No,
oh,
I know.
It's been so boring all year.
No. I mean, I think it's been a great season. We think all the way back to, you know, Rochester and the heat of Rochester and us packing ice down people's backs and stuff, trying to keep them cool, passing out. That was close to going to be one of my controversial moments, actually, was the racing in that heat at Rochester. I think that's something we need to be a little bit more careful of. I think that was a pretty dangerous situation and could have been a lot worse. It turned out okay. But I think that's just something for us to keep an eye on here in the U.S. in those early season races. So, but overall, it's an outstanding season. Great being on with you guys again, covering the season. I'm sure. What are our plans? Again, I'm throwing this at you. What are our plans for upcoming shows in the off season? We're going to kind of be like hit and miss, do some here and there.
Yeah, they're like pop-up shows at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple other little things planned, you know, more interviews to get out there. I think that's sort of going to be the focus for Crosshairs Radio. Definitely cyclocross people, but maybe others outside of cyclocross as well, as we get into mountain bike and other things like that, and have some other fun ideas out there that I'm going to work on for the podcast. And then, yeah, I think we get together intermittently just to check in, because I'll miss you guys otherwise. So we got to keep doing some shows over the summer.
That's right. And then, you know, plans. So just so the viewers know, we got plans in the works already for stuff we're talking about for next year. So look out for...
Yeah,
bigger and better.
Hoping to do some live events we would love for you all to come out with. Don't want to really go into any details now until we know what those.
And by live events, we're talking like live at races, maybe even,
yeah,
right?
Live at races, doing some podcasts, which we love for you to come out. Those have been a success in the past, and we'd like to do more.
That
and we'll see
cool.
If you guys can identify us from the lineup.
Yeah.
I'm the one with no facial hair. That's all you got to know. All right, guys. Well, this has been a great season. I think we did a very good awards show here. I think everyone will be happy. Jens, send us an email and let us know where we dropped the ball for sure.
Yeah, same.
That's a goal for next year too, is to get Jens on. That's got to be a goal.
Apologies to Beyonce. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. She wanted to be on, but, you know, we had to draw the line somewhere. So, all right, guys. Well, as always, thanks for a great show. Thanks for a great season. We will hit the viewers back before we know it. We'll be doing another show. So we're already starting to think about next year. It's going to be great. Thanks again. And, David, if people want to get in touch with you, where's the best place to do it?
Get me on the Twitters at Mr. David Palin.
At Mr. David Pound.
At Mr. David Pound. Oh, come by the shop, man. Come to Michigan. You know,
that
come
might have been
shop.
My
corner of Packet and Platt. Fraser Bicycle of Ann Arbor.
That should have been maybe the most controversial moment, Bill, is David changing his Twitter address.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's that.
I answer to the fans, man. I answer.
It's when being excellent in Twitter, Twittering. And remember, that's Palin, P-A-L-A-N.
Oh, don't start me down that road.
Not now. Bill, where's the best place for people to get in touch with you?
At CX Hairs, most places on social media. Also, if you want to shoot a letter to... our viewer mail, it is feedback@cxhairs.com and 405-CX-HAIRS. That's the helpline.
Yeah, if you guys inundate us with calls, we'll just have to do another show.
Well, you know, one of the things we were talking about is a viewer mail show, and I think we have gone through most of our letters now. So if you have any other, keep sending them in. You know, we'll keep calling for them on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. And once we get a good cache of letters and voicemails, we will line up and have our viewer mail show.
Or if
That's
we miss
point, Bill, or they can just send cash.
That works too. Like Lane did.
or if we missed
your email, which I'm sure we did, just remind us and we'll put it in with that show or something, or send us a new question or something. So.
Well, write your question on the back of a $2 bill.
That would be fine too. And you can find me cyclocross_network on Instagram or at cyclocross network on Twitter. Those are the best ways to get in touch with me, Scott Diedenbach. Guys, successful season, successful show. I think that's a wrap.
I think so. Success.